So let's go into this. Last week we started in the book of Ruth, and we talked about sacrificial love. It was an opportunity for us to think about and process what it means going into the Easter season, what it means to go into the Holy Week, what it means to imagine the resurrected King and his sacrifice that he made for us, for all of us on that cross. And we're so thankful. So let's look at Ruth's sacrificial love. And I'm going to go back to Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. Do not persuade me to leave you or go back and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and even more, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped trying to persuade her. Sacrificial love is what Ruth showed Naomi. It was an opportunity for her to go home, live a simpler life with her family, her friends, and everybody in it. Even worship her own gods. But to make the sacrifice and go with Naomi, she's giving it all up. She's giving up her family, her friends, her homeland, the hill that she sat on and watched her friends and family grow up. She's giving up her gods to worship the one true God and to follow Naomi to her homeland. Now, as a reminder, it's not just a homeland that she'll be welcomed at. It's a land that she will be a, we'll call it enemy, as Israel and Moab was at war with each other on and off again on a regular basis. So I don't want to recap the entire sermon. I want to at least give a basis from last week that it really was a sacrificial love that Ruth showed Naomi. And we tie that to the cross because of Christ's sacrificial love for us. As a reminder, not you, not me, or not anyone else deserves the sacrificial love that he gave us. But he gave it willingly and freely. And so we look at Ruth as a picture of sacrificial love. And that is a good example for us to take in today's sermon as we go in and read the next section in Ruth, talking about Boaz. So we want to talk about Boaz. We want to talk about how Ruth would be rewarded for her sacrificial love. Her sacrificial love to Naomi. That God would take care of her for giving up her homeland, giving up her family, giving up her gods, and following the one true God. But there is a way that God took care of her. And it's through Boaz. I'll have you go forward one slide, please. Boaz took notice of Ruth's sacrificial love. I'm going to read Ruth chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Boaz answered her, "Everything you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband's death has been fully reported to me. How you left your father and mother and the land of your birth, and how you came to the people you didn't previously know. May the Lord reward you for what you have done, and may you receive a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come refuge." See, that last part is really important. Under whose wings you have become refuge. See, she left her gods, the idolatry gods that she served in Moab and that she worshiped. She gave it all up because she knew that when she came to the land of Israel, following Naomi, that she had to give it all up to follow the God, the one true God, the God of the Israelites. And she did it willingly. and her sacrificial love for Naomi. So now, how will God bless her? How will God encourage her during this time? How will God do this? Reward her for her sacrificial love. Well, in this land, in this time, there's a term called Goel. And it's called the Redeemer. So when a family member passes away, a male, the closest relative, it would normally be a brother, but if not a brother, then the oldest male in the family line, would then redeem the woman and the land for which that land was open when the husband passed away. It's called Goel, the Redeemer. Interestingly enough, that ties a lot to what we're talking about. I might have planned that possibly. That we're talking about the Redeemer, the one who died on a cross for us, who rose from the grave. The Goel, who pays the price for us. So now let's talk about the Goel in this time, though. It's a little bit different. See, the process is normally satisfied by the brother. But in this case, all the brothers have died. They died in the land of Moab with their father. So this time, the closest relative is not Boaz. It's actually another man. So this other man would actually have to redeem Naomi and the land. But since Naomi is much older, she herself would not be wed. But then the Moabitess, Ruth, would be part of that property that would be transferred to the Goel, to the Redeemer. And that's an interesting thing to know, that the Goel would have to redeem them. Because if not, remember, they are then waiting for the pity of others so they may eat. Waiting for the pity of others so they may have roof over their head. But because of the Goel system, of the redeeming system that Israelites had in place, there could be a possibility of something coming their way. So it's important to understand what the Goel is. The Lord rewards Ruth's sacrificial love through Boaz's redemptive love, the Goel. So as we look at that and focus on that word Goel, I explained what it meant. I described the way, the culture it would happen in. See, it's interesting because not just would they redeem it, like they go to the land, like, okay, I'll take this land. I'm your closest relative and I'll take care of you. But no, they would gather elders of the Israelites. They'd go to the front gate. And at that front gate, they would hold a meeting with the Goel of the family. And amongst those witnesses, the Goel would either redeem or pass. And then the next person in line would take their opportunity to either redeem or pass. So it's a very formal setting. It's very official. It's very legal. It's very purposeful. Because, you know, a Goel, if they were, you know, let's say not kind-hearted, they could redeem the land and then toss away anything else in it. But doing it in witnesses, and the way this is very formal setting, is a way of holding people to their word. For what they say is what they do. It's a very formal setting at the gate. So here's Boaz. You read the book of Ruth and you understand that there's a lot going on there. Boaz has a heart for Ruth, has a heart for Naomi. He wants to be the redeemer, but he is not the one next in line. He is not the Goel of the family. But he wants to take care of him. So he calls, well, he didn't call him. There's no cell phones back then. He calls upon the actual Goel of the family to come to the gate. And along the way, he gathers the 10 elders that he needs to be witnesses. And here's part of that. Ruth 4:1-6. Boaz went to the gate of the town and sat down there. Soon the family redeemer Boaz had spoke about came by. Boaz called him by name and said, "Come over here and sit down." So he went over and sat down. Then Boaz took 10 men of the city's elders and said, sit here. And they sat down. Wouldn't that be great? If you just say, hey, come over here, sit down. And they just sat down. We can't even do that with our children. We got 10 elders to sit there. Sorry, side note. He said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has returned from the land of Moab, is selling a piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should inform you. Buy it back in the presence of those seated here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you want to redeem it, do so. But if you do not want to redeem it, tell me, so I will know. Because there isn't anyone other than you to redeem it, and I am next after you. I want to redeem it, he answered. I'm going to stop there for just a second. Think about this. The Redeemer's like, yeah, thank you for letting me know. Wow, I get a piece of land, and you know, I'll take whatever's on it, and it's okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know, Boaz. I appreciate it. I'm definitely going to redeem that. Because it makes sense, right? There's property, growth, there's wealth, there's all these things that come with it. Like, I have increased my number. I've increased my land. I definitely want to redeem it. But then Boaz continues, though. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the land from Naomi, you will also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the deceased man, to perpetrate the man's name on his property. The Redeemer replied, I can't redeem it myself, or I will ruin my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption, because I can't redeem it. When it came part to just land, property, physical things, this Redeemer said, yeah, I'm all in. I want some of that. But when it came time to redeeming Ruth, he said, no thanks. Hard pass on that one. See the difference? I think sometimes in our own lives, we run into those questions or those thoughts or those ideas, right? When it comes to property, oh, sure. No big deal. But when it comes to people's hearts, sometimes we're not as gracious. The Lord rewards Ruth and her sacrificial love through Boaz's kindness, his grace, and I would say his wit, as he gave the opportunity for the real redeemer of the family to take a place first. Although he probably knew that it would probably be a big pill for him to swallow. But he did the right thing. Because he wanted to make sure that he honored Naomi and Ruth in this process. And because of his love, his grace, his kindness, his compassion, his mercy, Ruth was redeemed. A Moabitess. Someone the Israelites had no care for the nation of Moab. But she was redeemed through the Israelite process, through legal exchange, because of the grace and mercy of Boaz. God had a plan. God had a plan in it. See, God provides a way. God provides a way for Ruth in her situation. And if you look at Ruth's situation, it looked kind of hopeless. Left everything and everything she knew to come to a place she had no idea about. But yet, found herself redeemed because she made a choice to follow the one true God. She made a choice to make it a real redemptive effort. True repentance of leaving her false idols to follow the true God. See, that scenario may look familiar to us. And some of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I'd love to say all of us, right? Because it is Sunday and it's church and the answer is Jesus, right? But sometimes we haven't gotten there yet. Sometimes we're wondering. Sometimes we're questioning. Sometimes we're not sure. Sometimes we're not even sure if he is risen. Sometimes we're not sure if the cross really happened. Usually it's because we can't pick up a textbook and read history. Sometimes that doubt comes in our mind and our way and gets in our pathway of his redemption of us. But nothing is beyond redemption. And I mean you to hear that. That's Easter morning. So if some of you are here for only your one out of two times of the year, Christmas and Easter, you have to know. Nothing is beyond redemption. There is nothing you have done. There is nothing you will do that is beyond his redeeming love. See, Boaz showed mercy, kindness. But if you really look, that's a human perspective that we should have kindness and love and mercy. But what Christ shows us, what Christ showed me, is redemptive love. Do you know that? Do you know his ultimate redemptive love? I hope so. If not, I would love to talk to you about that. See, Ruth, the picture of Ruth is an example, a picture for us to be able to see and understand, because sometimes we have to tie things to humans. It's hard to understand a God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. It's hard for us to understand that sometimes. It's hard for us to understand why, well, God would come down to earth and live amongst us, willingly die on the cross. It's hard for us to grasp sometimes because he's God. So sometimes it's important to tie it to humans. And we look at the story of Ruth and we look at the redemptive love that happened there. We look at the sacrificial love that Ruth showed and that she gave all to follow the one true God. He gave everything to follow the one true God. I asked it earlier today already, but I'll ask it again. Have you given it all? He's done all for you. But have you given all to what it means to follow him? Let's think about that ultimate redemptive love and what happened, what God's plan was. See, God provides a way. Ruth, the Moabitess, comes into the Israelite camp. No hope for redemption. There's a good chance she is going to wither away because she has nobody. But God had a plan. He prompted Boaz to be a good follower of Yahweh. And Boaz did that. And because Boaz answered the call that was on his heart, what happens next? Let's look at Ruth 4:17. A very important passage for us to understand something. 4:17. A son has been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse and the father of David. And through David is the lineage of the King of Kings. Through a Moabitess, through a woman who was left her country, had nothing, but had it all. Because God always has a plan. He has a plan in you too. And he has a plan for you as well. It's his redemptive love. That when he died on the cross, he knew what was coming. He knew what might happen. He knew what your choices would be and how you would spit in his face, how you would nail the nails in the cross. Now, some of you might be thinking logically and say, I didn't do that. For every sin that you have done, you helped nail him to the cross. It truly is his love, who knew you would do it, that allowed him to love you so much that he willingly was nailed to the cross. If that doesn't say redemptive love, then nothing will. So in life, in our walk, in our talk, in the way we live and follow Jesus Christ, you have to know this. God rewards our faithfulness. Now, before some of you walk out, I am not talking about the prosperity gospel. I'm talking about God rewards our faithfulness. He gives us a home in the kingdom that he is building before us. We all have a place. We all have the place to go. We don't know what time it'll be, but we know we will enter into heaven. We all go to the judgment throne, right? Every one of us. Even those that don't believe. We all go to the judgment throne, and Jesus will judge us because he's the only judge that can. Not me, not you. We aren't judges. We speak the truth because we want everybody to go to the judgment throne, and he look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Your reward for your faithfulness is eternal life in heaven. That is our reward for our faithfulness. That is our reward for our faithfulness to him as we seek him, as we understand him, as we grow in the word, as we learn what it means to be a Christ follower. Now, here's the thing. In some of this, as I mentioned earlier, you might be struggling with the idea of what it means to follow him. You might be struggling with the idea of what it means to seek him. You might be struggling with the idea of what it means to accept him. Because how could he let all those things happen to me? But you have to trust him. You have to put your trust in him. If you put your trust in him, I tell you, it's a new life. I tell you from a man who had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Far from it. I tell you from a man that despised Christians, who came to know the redemptive love of Jesus Christ. And my heart is full. That every Good Friday, when I come up to Good Friday, I get so excited because the cross is that beacon of light for me that separates my old Teddy to new Teddy. When I see friends and family that knew me in the past, they're flabbergasted. You're doing what? You... No. And they use choice words sometimes because they're not believers. And they shock us by their reaction. But they know the difference in this guy. You know why they know the difference? Because I walk with him. I know that he paid my price that I deserve on that cross. And I thank him every day. I walk my life, not perfectly, because I'm human just like you. I make mistakes. I am so grateful for a redemptive Savior like Jesus Christ. I want us to take a moment to close out this sermon in prayer as the worship team comes back up to do our closing song. And I want you to process that. The story of Ruth and what it meant to give sacrificial love. And then for her, faithfulness was rewarded. And in your prayer time right now, I want you to think through, do you trust him? Do you feel like you owe him everything? I know I do. So let's go into prayer. And if today is a day where you have been wondering and questioning, if you have been wondering what it looks like to follow Jesus Christ, make today the day you accept him. And during this prayer time, I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And if it's you, if you need that commitment, we're going to pray that prayer today. I'm not going to have you come up front or have you stay right in your seat, and I'll have you raise your hand so I can witness it. And I promise you, I will love to have that conversation with you. Let's go to prayer. Please close your eyes and bow your heads, as this can be a private moment for those that need to recommit their lives or commit their lives fully right now and right here. As the worship team comes up, we will say this prayer. Father, we are so grateful for the way you have encouraged us, the way you have led us, the way we see the cross. Thank you for the beacon of hope that you give us. Thank you for the empty tomb that you presented us, that even though you foretold it for us, we did not believe. But thankful we believe today. And Father, we have people in our church right now that have not had that moment, that accepting realization, that moment with you, that acceptance of your love, your redemptive love, your favor. And today we ask them to commit their lives to you. So as everybody's eyes are closed and head bowed, if you are one of those, just please raise your hand and catch eyes with me. I thank you. Is there anyone else? Recommitment. Live your life today. Let it be today that you live your life for him. Father, we're grateful. We're encouraged by you. And Father, may you just lead us in this song. May you empower our hearts and empower our minds with the old rugged cross. We say this in Jesus' name. And all his people said, amen.